From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, a close look at what was a very busy week in and around Syria, with the opening of real peace talks in Geneva and the surprise announcement on Monday of a pullback by Russia from active engagement in the fighting. President Vladimir Putin warned Thursday that Russia could ramp up its military presence in Syria within several hours if needed. He also urged all sides to the conflict to respect the current ceasefire. Putin made the comments at a ceremony in Moscow honoring Russia's war dead in Syria, at which he summarized the results of Moscow's five-month-long anti-terror campaign there.
Esteemed comrades, you remember how the situation in Syria was formed back in September 2015, and then a significant portion of the country was seized by the terrorist groupings, and the situation was degrading and worsening. In full accordance with international law, at the request of the legitimate government and the president of the country, a decision was taken to start a military operation. While we have immediately designated the objectives, the support of the lawful fight of the Syrian army against the terrorist groupings, and our actions have been recalculated on time. To prevent the attacks of the terrorists. And we had stated at the time that we're not going to get involved in the inter-Syrian conflict and looking for the final solutions to define the future of the country. That should be done by the Syrians themselves. So the main objective of our operation was to inflict a strike against terrorists. And fighting against international terrorism is fair and correct. It is a fight against the enemies of the civilization, those who bring along barbarians and violence. You know, trying to cancel the values of spiritual values that actually support this world. Let me state it again. Our main objective in Syria is to stop a global, terrible evil, to prevent it from spreading into Russia, so that our country have shown its indisputable leadership, will, and responsibility. So, what results have we attained? Your actions, your strengthful combat operations have changed, drastically changed the situation. We have prevented the terrorist cancer from spreading all over. We have destroyed the war depots of ammunition. We have blocked the routes of oil, smuggling oil, which was providing the main financial support to terrorists. We have conducted a lot of work in strengthening the lawful powers and authorities in Syria. And I have mentioned the same in the United Nations at the 70th anniversary session. We have helped to strengthen their armed forces, and currently they are not only capable of restraining the terrorists, but also conducting offensive operations. Yes, and the Syrian army have taken over the strategic initiative and is continuously cleaning up their land from terrorist gangs. And the main thing, we have created conditions for a peaceful process there. We have managed to set up a constructive, positive coordination with the USA and a number of other countries, with those responsible opposition forces within Syria who actually want to stop the war and to find the only possible political solution of the conflict. So this path to peace, you have helped to open that. You did that, the soldiers of Russia. Dear comrades, after an agreement had been reached for a ceasefire between the opposition and the government forces, the volume of operations for our air force have reduced significantly. The number of combat sorties have reduced from 60 or 70 a day to 20, 30 a day. So in this connection, the grouping of forces militarily have become superfluous. So the decision to take to withdraw the surplus equipment and personnel have been agreed and approved with the Syrian President Bashar Assad, and we have advanced him beforehand, and he had supported that. In the joint statement of Russia Federation and the USA, it was stated that against the terrorist groupings those acknowledged as such by the United Nations, the warfare against those will be continued. While against the military formation of the Syrian opposition, they have confirmed their readiness for a truce, for a ceasefire, there will be no actions against those. So let me draw your attention to the fact that if we will register the facts of breaking the truce from whatever groupings, they will be automatically excluded from the list that had been offered, have been provided by the US, with all the associated consequences for them. So let me designate now the objectives for our personnel staying in the Syrian Republic. Let me repeat, this will be a monitoring of the truce, providing the conditions for a political inter-Syrian dialogue. And our bases in Syria, Tartus and Khmeimim, the personnel on those bases will continue their service there, defending those bases in a reliable way from both air, sea, and land. All of the components of the deployed air defense system, including the Panzer F short-range systems and the Triumph S-400 long-range system, will continue their active service. Let me note that to a significant degree, we have restored the potential of the Syrian air defense forces. All of the parties involved have been notified and are aware of all this. We are proceeding from the fundamental standards and regulations that nobody can violate the airspace of a sovereign country, Syria in this case. We have set up and we have an effectively working mechanism of preventing incidents in air with the Americans. While all the partners have been notified and they are aware of the fact that our air defense systems will be used against any targets that we will consider a threat to the Russian servicemen. Let me emphasize that again, any targets. And we will, of course, continue to provide support to the lawful government of Syria. That will be a complex support. It will be financial support, deliveries of equipment and material, contributing to training, organization, and good coordination of Syrian forces. This will be a reconnaissance and intelligence support, staff and headquarters support, and then also direct support. I will mean airspace grouping, strike, and support aviation air forces. The forces that are staying in Syria are sufficient to meet the existing objectives. We will continue providing support to the Syrian army and the authorities in their fight against the IS and Jabhat al-Nusra and other terrorist groupings that have been acknowledged as such by the UN Security Council. And our hard attitudes to terrorists had not changed. So whatever balance of forces will be there with a reduced Russian forces there, the balance will be provided for. Moreover, with our support and strengthening of the Syrian army, I am sure that in the near future we'll see new serious successes of the patriotic forces in their fight against terrorism. And as you may know, there are there's hard fighting going on around Palmyra at the near circle around Palmyra, and I hope that this pearl of the world civilization, or at least whatever will remain from it after the bandits have been there, have been active there, it will be returned to the Syrian people and the whole of the world. And if it will be required, Russia is capable of increasing its grouping in the region to the size that will be adequate to the situation in view. And we will use the whole range of the capacities that we will have at our disposal. We would not like to do that because the military escalation is not our choice. So we are still counting on the common sense of all the parties, on the devotion of both the Syrian authorities and the opposition forces to the peaceful process. Let me note the position of the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. We can see his reserve, his sincere wish to attain peace, and his readiness for to compromise and dialogue. And the mere fact of withdrawal of a significant part of our grouping there, in view of the talks for the Syrian regulation, is a good positive signal. And I'm sure that all of the parties of the Syrian conflict will appreciate it properly. We will continue working and take all the necessary measures in order to, in good cooperation with our partners, to contribute to the setting up of continued peace in Syria, so that we will rid the Syrian people that have suffered a lot from the terrorist threat, and will assist Syrians to restore their country. Esteemed comrades, you have proven that we have a strong, a modern, properly equipped army and the navy, good fighters that are capable of resolving large-scale and complex objectives. During this operation against terrorists, more than 9,000 combat sorties have been made. The navy ships have inflicted massive strikes of with a precision caliber missiles with a range of 1,500 kilometers from two seas, the Caspian Sea and the Mediterranean, both from the surface ships and from the submarines. So we are proud of professional actions of our sailors. The long-range aviation, strategic aviation, have contributed in a great way. The X-101 missiles have been, cruise missiles have been used properly with a range of over 4,000 kilometers. And in a short period of time, modern and effective system of air defense have been deployed in Syria, and coordination between all of the forces and means have been provided, as well as the logistics support have been provided. The transport aviation and the transport ships of the Navy have proven well as well. So all of the important issues of providing support at a remote combat theater have been provided in a proper, qualified way on time, which again demonstrates good capacities, increased capacities of our armed forces. Let me thank today the representatives of the military industrial complex, the defense industries, both the designers, engineers, so that the modern weapons have been properly tested, not just at the test ranges, but at combat conditions, which is the hardest of all the tests and checks. So this experience will help us to provide necessary corrections so that the new generation weapons could be created, so that the armed forces could be perfected and their combat capabilities could be increased. So life has shown that this guarantees the secure way, the security of our country. We should remember all the threats that are there if we don't do anything on time. We should remember the histories, the lessons of history, including the tragic events of the Second World War, or the Great Patriotic War. What the miscalculations and military planning and preparation have led to, and the lack of modern equipment had led to at that time. So everything could be done in good time, while the weaknesses and the miscalculations are always dangerous. Of course, the military operations in Syria have led to certain expenses, but the main expenses have been the resources and the finances of the Defense Ministry. About 33 billion rubles have originally been provided into the budget of the Defense Ministry for the year 2015 for the combat training. So in other words, we have just retargeted those resources for the provision of our group of forces in Syria. And there's no other effective way of military training than the actual military action. Nobody has come up with anything else. So in this context, it is best to utilize and to expand the service life of the equipment in combat rather than on a test range. And you are the professionals. You are those who understand it best. Evidently, some additional expenses will be needed in order to replenish our arsenals to the levels needed, as well as the equipment levels, as well as current repairs and overhauls for the equipment that have been used in Syria. And I'm fully assured that those expenses are fully justified, and they are needed, because it's only in the combat conditions. Many of the things that have been used could have been properly tested so that the faults could be discovered and eliminated. So those are the expenses for the strengthening the defense capabilities of our country in providing the current requirements of the defense for the Russian Federation. And all the things have to be done today so that in the future we will not have to pay a much higher price. And the price is not easy. It's not a simple price. And we're not talking about money. We have Elena Peshkova and Valentina Chermishina and Irina Kazinoch here and Irina Shuravlova, the widows of our comrades who have perished in their fight against terrorism. I understand that for the next of kin, the friends, the combat of comrades in arms of Ivan Alexander and those others, the loss of their lives cannot be compensated, and we all take that as personal loss. So I will. That's why I have listed them by names, not just as a commander-in-chief or a president, but as a grateful and a sad citizen of Russia. Our comrades have stayed loyal to the very end, loyal to their oath of allegiance and their military duties. We will remember their courage and their nobility, and we'll remember they have been the real men and courageous fighters. Dear comrades, the military operation in Syria of large scale have taken 5.5 months, and that is a very difficult region far away from motherland. You have executed the military duty in a proper way, and you have defended the security of Russia and our citizens at the far limits and borders, the far reaches. So the objectives that have been set in front of you have been met. So the units are returning to their permanent bases back to Russia. Let me note in this hall, for this particular audience, and for the rest of the country, the main agenda in Russia today is peaceful agenda. It is taking care of developing economy in the current complex conditions, in raising the welfare of our people. But without providing security, without building capable a modern army and the navy, we will not resolve those objectives and tasks. Moreover, without doing this, the existence of a modern, sovereign, independent Russia is not possible. And we are here today in the legendary Hall of St. George, commemorating the great glory and traditions of the Russian military, where the names of its courageous sons have been glorified. So we have here this spirit, victorious spirit of the Russian military. Our soldiers and officers have shown again that they are courageous people, noble people. They are strong by spirit. They are the fighters devoted to their fatherland. Let me thank you all for your service. I thank all of the participants of the military operation in Syria. Thank you so much.
For more insight on both what the thinking is inside the Kremlin and public sentiment within Russia, we spoke with longtime journalist and political commentator Dmitry Babich from Radio Sputnik via Skype Friday. Dmitry, welcome back. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So, interesting summary, summation really by President Putin earlier today, at least bringing things up to date and making clear that there is a continuing presence by Russia inside of Syria and also a continuing role in the process going forward. You want to give us a quick summary of it?
Well, it's very clear that the Russian presence in Syria will be reduced, I mean the military presence. And I think the people who claimed in the beginning of the Russian operation, which started in September last year, that Putin is going to, to get bogged down in Syria, that is going to be another Afghanistan, I think these people were basically wrong, and it is becoming apparent right now. Russia lost just three people, and that was only because of the rather treacherous action of the Turkish fighter jets, which shot down a Russian plane, a Russian military plane in the north of the country, and it fell on the Syrian territory. So I wouldn't even call it a casualty in the fight with terrorists or with the Syrian opposition. It was a casualty of a rather treacherous Turkish attack. So in fact, this was a successful operation. And I think when the Western media, I mean, the mainstream Western media, when they say that it's a sign of Putin abandoning Assad, or it's a sign of Putin giving up to pressure, you know, exerted by the United States and the EU economically, I'm not sure that this is true, because these people, they just never listen to what Putin has to say. They always read all kinds of evil intentions into Putin's speeches. And if you look at Putin's speeches in September last year, he made it very clear that Russia was not going to stay in Syria alone, that the separation of the Russian aviation would continue for the next 3 or 4 months. And then it would be replaced by other less large-scale operations. So I think these people should have listened to Putin, and that would have avoided them a lot of trouble about guessing his intentions now.
And, you know, looking at where things are at as of today, Russia is going to maintain its updated somewhat base at Tartus for the naval base, and also has the air base in Latakia. If you think about them in terms of not just what happens in Syria next, but as strategic assets, as the U.S. is pushed up to Russia's borders, these are kind of at the rear of the front line of NATO in that part of the world. It's a useful asset there. Geopolitically, generally, what do you think has changed in the last 5 years that is, you know, sort of summed up with what's happened in Syria this past week?
Well, I think there are two different things. The last 5 years, I think, were a disaster in the relations between Russia and the West in general, and the United States in particular. And it was an avoidable disaster, because there was no urgency for President Obama to bomb Libya or to get involved in the civil war in Syria. That was Obama's own decision and the decision of his so-called entourage, of his team. These decisions were absolutely disastrous. I would say that the decision to intervene in Ukraine, to intervene by the so-called NGOs and by political and financial support for the new Ukrainian regime, that decision was also catastrophic and very avoidable. But something that happened. And now Russia has to live with this new reality. So I think the foray into Syria was Russia's reaction to this new reality of a newly hostile NATO. I think it was important for Putin to show that the Russian military capability is with us, and that NATO will not be able to afford a real military confrontation with Russia. So that has been shown, because the Russian warships fired their missiles against the terrorist targets in Syria from as far as the Caspian Sea. And let me remind you that Caspian Sea is the only water reservoir in the world where you don't have NATO ships, and where you potentially can't have them, because this sea is basically divided between Russia, Iran, and several neutral states such as Azerbaijan and Turkmenistan. So there is very little chance that NATO would be able to deploy any warships there. So that was Putin's technical goal, and this goal has been achieved. His political goal was to show the limitations of the American power, to show that instead of fighting the Islamic State in a serious way, the United States was actually trying to topple the legitimate government in Syria. The so-called Western coalition had been bombing the so-called Islamic State for 11 months before the Russian planes got involved. And there was absolutely no effect. Now the difference in the position of the Islamic State between September 2015, when Russia started to bomb, and now, the difference is tremendous. The Kurdish units are making forays as far as Raqqa, you know, the territory controlled by the Islamic State is shrinking, and the leaders of the Islamic State are finding refuge as far as Libya, you know, the country which was supposed to be made democratic and safe by the people like McCain. So basically, I think it was a success on all sides, and Putin is not a global, you know, Putin is not into a global game against the United States. His strategy is not to change the world completely, not to be a global alternative to the United States and the Western world. I think his strategy is to defend Russia's national interest and to show other countries such as China and India and Brazil how you can act independently of the so-called global West defending your interests. So this goal has been achieved in Syria, and Putin decided to limit the Russian involvement there before it becomes too dangerous. And also, I think Putin indeed wants to give a chance to Syria's peace process. He made it very clear in his statement in the beginning of the Russian operation last year that Russia was not into regime change in Syria. Russia was not into making the government of Bashar al-Assad survive by all means. Russia was into helping Syrians to decide their own future without interference from the global Islamist organizations or from the Western countries.
Do you think in terms of popular support inside Russia that the Syrian operation could be compared in relation to Russia's problem in Afghanistan with the United States' invasion of Grenada, not on moral grounds, but in terms of how that ended, quote-unquote, the anti-war sentiment in the United States, or the Vietnam syndrome, as they called it?
Well, I think the comparison with Afghanistan is definitely wrong. And in Russia, only the stupidest liberal media made that comparison. They wanted it to be like Afghanistan, but there was no chance this would be another Afghanistan, because in Syria, Russia had the support of the legitimate government, and there was a powerful ground force, which Russia only had to help from the air. So comparisons with Afghanistan are completely wrong. Comparison with Grenada is maybe, you know, maybe only in terms of how the government media and the mainstream American media played it up. Because for Russian media, of course, the action in Syria was important because it showed that Russia had the military capability that allowed it, without any, almost any losses, to inflict great damage on the Islamists. So that was reflected in the media. I know that the Western media was very unhappy about it, but that was just one of those cases when it was important for Russians to know that we have a strong army again. And this is the only parallel that I see with Grenada, because obviously Russia was not changing the regime in Syria, and the United States was changing the regime in Grenada. And certainly Russia was fighting a much more powerful enemy in Syria, that is the Islamic State and other terrorist organizations, whilst the U.S. government in Grenada fought just against a small group of people who wanted to shape the future of Grenada in a different way.
And finally, one interesting use that I heard the English translation. I wouldn't have the wherewithal to contextualize the Russian original Russian, but the translated as a reference to the military-industrial complex of Russia, and saying that they had the opportunity basically to battle test a lot of the new weaponry and utilize it against terrorists, which seems to be like a twofer, really, because these terrorists he had already painted as they are a threat to Russia. They were being trained, many of them, for Russia. So in terms of that, what do you think of the idea, essentially, of Daesh operating as lab rats, almost?
I don't think that the Russian leadership is cynical as to be happy to test weapons on living people, even if these living people are terrorists. I think that basically the main idea was to show the opponent, the more and more aggressive opponent, that is NATO, that Russia has the weapons. And this is a kind of deterrent. Instead of trying to show how these weapons work, in Europe, it's much more safe to show these weapons in action against the terrorists in the Middle East.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.